Welcome back to Burn the Haystack with Josh and Jesse.
I'm Jesse.
And I'm Josh.
And this is a show all about saving the best and burning the rest.
Absolutely. And today we're back with another episode after our 100 episode celebration last week, which was just magnificent. we are here today. We're going to be talking about, straight up, we're going to be talking a bit more about COVID-19. We were kind of off and on about whether we should do another episode, but there's been a pretty major development here in New Zealand, and so we feel the need to just talk about it because it's kind of what's on our mind. Next week, we'll probably be back to more other content, but I guess today is tackling the latest developments here in New Zealand and what that means for us and things we're wrestling with in our heads and how it's changed our jobs and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, we are definitely living in a weird time right now. Like, I'll be honest, when we recorded our episode 2 weeks ago, I just thought, oh yeah, this is something that's happening right now. We'll talk about it while it's relevant, and then it's not going to be relevant anymore because that's just how news generally works. But unlike most news things, news stories, this has persisted and it's actually intensified in many different ways. So yeah, what kind of began as a reluctant sort of, oh yeah, we'll just cover this while it's happening, has turned into, I guess this is how life is going to be for a little while for us now. So yeah, we're in a weird spot right now, especially here in New Zealand. But yeah, we're going to talk about that today. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so before we get into that content, we'll do the main content first, which of course is the question of the week.
This is going to be the one bright spot in this entire episode.
I know. Anyway, okay. You have just stumbled into a cave, and in the cave, there is like a guru with a long beard and a huge sitar and a flute that he's also playing at the same time somehow.
Okay? What's a sitar?
A sitar.
What's a sitar?
You don't know? It's like those Indian guitars, and they're like huge and you should Google them. Honestly, there's so many interesting facts about sitar that this whole episode would become a sitar episode if I begin to describe and explain what a sitar is.
I've never even heard of a sitar. I've probably heard a sitar like in music.
You have. Okay. Yeah, if you've heard any Indian music, 99% of the time there's a sitar in there. So anyway, they're amazing. You should look them up. They're so interesting. And maybe next week we'll recoup and be like, hey, Jesse, what did you learn about sitars? Anyway, and he tells you, I will now give you the gift to be able to master any instrument in the world, but only one instrument. What will it be? And he begins to blow smoke on you, and when that you inhale that smoke, I don't know why I had to set this whole narrative up to explain. But yes, and as you breathe in that smoke, you master an instrument, but you have to think of the instrument right there. You only get one.
Okay.
So you're inhaling the smoke. What's the instrument?
It's violin. It's got to be violin.
But you already play violin.
Yeah, but I don't really play violin anymore. Like, I haven't played violin for so long. And I kind of hate the fact that I used to be okay at violin. Like, I got up to, like, grade 5. But then I stopped playing. And I've lost most of my skill. Because violin is such... It's like guitar. It's a... it's really technically difficult with, you know, your finger movements and everything like that. Except not unlike guitar, it's a lot more delicate, I suppose, and it's really difficult to get real mastery. Like, when I was a kid, I was not amazing at violin, but I had friends who were amazing at violin. And they would literally practice 3, 4, 5 hours a day to get through, you know, grade up to grade 8, I think is the highest grade. Then you go to AMAS after that. It's no joke. And I kind of wish that I still had it because, like, I'm married to somebody who is an excellent pianist and you would think that like a piano violin combo, like that's a killer combo for musician, like a musician couple. But
yeah,
my skill's just not up there with hers. So it'd be cool if I could, I guess, be higher. I don't know. Well, if I have complete mastery, I would be like, you know, a virtuoso or something like that. So anyway, it would be violin. I love violin, and I hate that I am not good at violin anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense. Violin's pretty cool. My second choice in this probably would have been cello. Very similar.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're very beautiful instruments. But yes, my number one, I don't know, it's piano. I would just, I've always looked at piano and thought, man, you know, like, I wish I could just play, like, you know, you just see people and they just sit down and just play some, like, real nice jazz piano or something.
Right.
And if I had to be specific, I would even say jazz as a genre. I would just wish I could just sit down and play jazz piano. But just so nice, you know, just such a beautiful instrument.
Why didn't you say guitar?
Guitar and me have had a complicated history.
All right. Step into my office, Josh. What's bothering you? Well, tell me what's wrong with guitar.
I didn't used to like guitars because I thought they were too mainstream. That's why I was a drummer.
They are very mainstream.
And then I was a bassist. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For me, like, I like guitar, but I've never had the desire to just be able to master it. You know, and I feel like I can already, like, I only ever wanted guitar so that I could, like, sing along with it.
Yeah.
Like, use it as an accompaniment. But, like, piano, I feel like, is that one instrument that can just do everything at once, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess in some ways, most of the guitar that we consume as, like, music consumers is just a filler, like, to hold a melody or whatever. Like, if you were to master a guitar, like, I would think somebody like maybe classical guitar, perhaps, or even, like, I don't know, Dragon Force, or, you know, stuff like that. Or who's the guy that does Ocean? Paul Butler?
John Butler.
Yeah, like that.
Those are all very different styles of guitar. Like, yes, each their own mastery.
Very,
like,
specific.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. It's kind of that thing where, like, I don't know. I do like guitar, but it's just never been something I've wanted to master. I don't know. But then if I could master all the styles, that would be pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah, it would be. But yeah, for you, is guitar more of a vessel to carry, like, if it's worship or if it's a pop song? Like, is that how you feel about guitar?
Yeah, I mean, I like electric guitar and lead guitar, but I don't feel like it's complicated enough that if I had one opportunity to eternally master it, I would need to take it. Whereas, like, piano for me has always seemed, like, way too far out of my reach.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why that is. Maybe if I put more time into it, but, yeah.
Piano is a prestige instrument.
Maybe it's because I already play. I already play guitar, and I feel like, oh, yeah, I like it, and I'm traveling along fine at my own pace.
Yeah.
But if I could just instantly have piano without working for it, oh, that'd be cool.
Well, I mean,
because if I instantly had guitar, then I'd have nothing to work on anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at an orchestra, you're not going to get two pianos. There's one pianist. And so to be a world-class pianist, that's, like, incredibly prestigious. But as if you were to ask Karina about this, she would be like, never become an orchestra pianist because it's way too much pressure and people absolutely become total jerks if they are a concert pianist. You know what I mean?
I would never want to play that. Like, I would never want to be in an orchestra. I'd just want it for...
just for you.
Honestly. It's my own personal joy. Or, like, you know, like, you go through a shopping center and there's a piano that's just like, play me. I'd be like, I think I will. And just sit down and everyone's like, wow, look at that guy. Like, there's never a guitar sitting there and it's like, play me. And then someone sits down and starts playing Wonderwall and everyone's like, wow. Everyone's like, oh, Lord, make it stop, please. Have mercy. You know,
I feel like what you're describing is like every 14-year-old white boy who just wants to impress the girls around him with just being able to sit down at a piano and just play it. Because that was me. That was definitely me when I was that age.
Why is that white boy? Why can't that be anybody? I feel like any boy would want to just impress all the girls with...
Okay, sure. Let's go any boy. Let's go even more generic than the example that I originally used. Any boy. Like, I remember...
Okay, yeah, all right. Fair enough. All right, hey. Let's talk about something serious.
It's just because I'm drilling you in, man. You just want to escape. Yep.
Okay, so getting back into what we were talking about before, COVID-19 swept across the world very fast. Kind of was pretty distant off when we talked about it. There was only, I think, 4, 5, 6 cases in New Zealand at the time.
Very small.
Yeah, and then like a week later, we're currently sitting over 100 now, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Looking to, I think, double every 3 days or something like that is what the current rate of infection is going right now.
Yeah, that's what Cindy was saying.
Yeah, yeah. So we, yeah, it's gone really haywire here in New Zealand, at least. We don't have the largest amount of cases in the world, out of all different countries in the world, which is great. However, we do have a situation now where our government is establishing a level 4 restriction on public activity coming into effect today, the day that you are listening to this podcast. And basically what that means is that all non-essential businesses and public places are closed. People are encouraged to go home, penalized if they are out in public for too long, which I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but yeah.
Basically, yeah. We're all on isolation unless you are an essential business. And I'm going to say, some of the businesses that have made their way into essential are very, like Domino's are apparently going to be still delivering pizza during this time. So I don't know how essential, anyway, but that's what I heard on the radio. So maybe that's not true, but we'll find out. But yeah, anyway, yeah. So it's a pretty interesting time for us now. We pretty much have to stay in our homes because we're not essential.
Yeah, yeah. And it's changed so much of how we are doing church. Like I remember 2 weekends ago when we first released an episode on COVID-19, we were just doing church as per usual. I remember preaching that Sabbath. I was not preaching at my local church. I was preaching at a neighboring church, and it was like half full, like a third full. You know, it was, everybody was just not there and kind of staying home, but people were still going to church by and by. People were at my local church. They did a big youth service and there was a bunch of people there. And but then a week later, I remember Josh and I, you and I had this funny conversation where Australian churches, the SDA church in Australia decided to close all Australian churches until, I believe, end of April or beginning of May or something like that. And we were just joking around, and I made the prediction that we're probably going to get the same treatment in a few days. And what did you say to that?
Oh, you said, no, so it was, you said, you reckon by this, so at the time, this Sabbath will be shut down, won't be able to have church. And I reckon, and I was like, oh, I think you're close, but I think next week is what I said. I think this week we'll go ahead, but next week we'll be shut down.
But honestly, things have moved so quickly. It seems that every day there is something, some new restriction or some new development to just change the situation completely. So we went within a week of saying, hey, just be careful, wash your hands, go about your business like usual, but don't be too insane. We've gone from that to everybody stay home, lock your doors, hide your children, hide your wife, COVID-19's yes, coming for you.
Yeah, like, so I mean, Jesse was right in the end, we did get shut down then, but back then, that weekend, we could still go to the church and do a live stream. The gathering was only restricted to,
yeah,
it had to be less than 100 people.
100, okay. Now, yeah, it got changed to 10, and then I'm pretty sure under article or level 4, it's just your family or like, yeah, 5.
Yeah, so now we can't have any. So now I can't even. I mean, I can go to the church, but well, I might not even be able to go to my church by myself. I don't know, but we'll see. But anyway, because they don't want you to even travel too much, and my church is half an hour away, so I don't know what the limitations. We're still working all that out. But anyway, so yeah, now we can't even go to the church and host a live stream. So it's gone sort of past Australia now, where they're at, because they can still go to their churches and do live stream events at the time of recording. Might be the same by this weekend. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, no, it's crazy. Yeah, so look, the world is definitely changing a lot more rapidly. We're feeling it more now in New Zealand because of the rapid changes that our government has made. Things I'd say are probably worse in Australia, though they haven't done a full country crackdown like they have here. And I know that in certain states of the United States, things are looking a little bit different as well. I think in the US, it's more of a state by state, perhaps county by county basis on what you can and you can't do. But I know everybody's feeling it a lot more. I mean, we saw just in the last week or two, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, was when Italy closed their borders, and they've been locked down now for a week and a half, 2 weeks at this point. So yeah, things are looking really, really weird right now. And honestly, it's just been, I've never experienced anything like this. It's just been bizarre. Hey.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, I've seen like little jokes around people like, oh, I guess pastors don't really have anything to do now, you know, because you can't see anyone. I am busier than I have been the entire time I've been employed. This is literally the busiest season I've ever had in my life. You know, I've been in so many phone calls and meetings and like going to be writing statements and like, oh, yeah, honestly, it's crazy for me. What about you? Do you reckon you're busier than ever right now, or do you reckon you're about the same or less?
I think I'm about the same, but I think that's due to the fact that I have a smaller church than you do, and because my role is small church and chaplain, as well as like youth leader, I think that role is probably not as intensive as what you have right now, because basically half of my role, aka chaplain, is effectively shut down as of tomorrow.
Right.
So I can't really do anything chaplaincy wise apart from just support the teachers wherever they are, at work or at home. Hopefully they're at home, but I don't know exactly how that's going to work at this stage, because we don't really know what the government is wanting for every school at this point in time.
Yeah.
But I will say that I am much more busy than I have been on the social media front. It's kind of been a guilty sort of kick up the butt thing for me in a way, because my church doesn't have a proper social media manager, so that person is just me. And so with that, I have been... I created an Instagram account for my church, and I've been scheduling posts, and I've been responding to messages, and we just did our first live stream on Saturday, and like, you've been doing all the same thing sort of thing. So that's been kind of mental, and it's really made me have to shift my focus on where to spend my ministry and my work energy. I mean, like a week ago, even 3 days ago, we were talking about doing house churches, and so I was gearing up to lead group leaders to do house churches, and so I was gathering everybody's information and phone numbers, and then I like just yesterday realized that, well, that's all pointless, throw it in the bin, because it's not going to work anymore.
Yeah, I mean, mind you, when so we're on these level 4 restrictions, we're on like this for 4 weeks at this stage. It could go longer. They've said it, you know, if people don't follow the rules or whatever and the cases continue to grow, then they'll extend it. But as they scale it back, like once we, if we go back to level 3 or level 2, then house churches would be the way to go. Like, definitely. My church won't be able to meet until we're off the restriction list completely, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to wait till we're right off, which could be, it could be heaps long. We have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to when we can at least meet together again. You know what I mean? Like, even just having a small group go and do a live stream rather than just chilling in our houses, it's totally different. It's only been one day. I'm already like, this is such an extrovert thing. I'm like, help. Get me out.
I think people are going to be so stoked when we can finally meet back together again. I think people are going to, like, it's happened so fast that I don't think people have really quite come to terms with what it means that we're not going to be able to meet together at all. I'm glad that here in New Zealand, not that I'm aware, we don't have any churches that are basically defying the government restrictions, but I know in the US there are a number of churches that I've seen quite arrogantly meeting together with hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, touching, healing, praying, all that sort of stuff. It's pretty nuts.
I don't think we have any Adventist churches, but there is at least one church that has been here in New Zealand.
Oh, yes?
Yes, quite a big one.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Yes, and most New Zealanders... I mean, I don't want to name drop them, but if you're a New Zealander, just think, what's the big controversial church in New Zealand? That's the one.
Okay, I haven't heard about this.
They met together, just all... Everything was normal this last Sunday.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Did they make any statements, like, about the whole thing, or...?
No, I don't think so. They just did their thing.
Okay.
So, anyway, yeah, one, at least. I haven't heard of any others, but it's pretty crazy. I was talking to one of my friends who's pastor of, like, a big charismatic church, and I was like, man, like, what are you guys going to do now that you're... like total house lockdown, because before they were doing these cool like live streams on their awesome stage with all the lighting and everything, so it still looked cool. All right, you guys can't even do that anymore. They're pre-recording like 4 services in one day.
that's cool
and then just pumping them out, and I'm like, wow, that is hectic.
With like,
so
the full,
I wish we did that, but like, I mean, you have to have staff to do that.
Yeah with like the full worship set and everything like that.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's nuts, though, man. Good on
him. Yeah,
yeah. Good on him.
It's a pretty interesting season, I think, for all churches, not just Adventist churches, but all of us, you know?
Yeah.
And,
you know, I think it's going to hit churches a lot harder that are a lot more program heavy. Like the church that you were talking about, the charismatic church, everything that they do is based around their gatherings. Like they have small groups and stuff like that. But really, everything really is focused on that Sunday morning, you know, Sunday evening, whatever experience, like that's what they're all pumping for, because that's when they all get together and it's like the hype machine and Holy Spirit, and like that's what they live for, sort of thing. And not to have that anymore, it kind of makes you think, well, if you don't have that, what else do you have, sort of thing. It's a really interesting philosophical question, not just for charismatic churches, but for a lot of churches.
Yeah, I mean, we do put a lot of emphasis on the Saturday, or I guess Sunday morning event, you know, that's the moment.
Mm.
And Adventist churches are definitely guilty of it too.
Every church is, you know, I think, to a degree.
To a lot of people, to keep Sabbath and go to church on Saturday,
they're the same.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it means to keep Sabbath. Like, they wouldn't say it, but if they don't go to church on Sabbath, it's like they feel like they're breaking the Sabbath.
Sure.
And so it's become like their identity as a Seventh-day Adventist becomes entwined with attending this event. Now, quick disclaimer, I'm not saying, like, I think a church event is awesome, and I think it's something we should value, and I think should put effort into, and I think you do grow from when you attend. Like, I think attendance to it is important, but it's not entwined with my Christian experience, if that makes sense.
Well, it shouldn't be, certainly.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I guess it is. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think we could No. We can make this easy. I mean, so let's separate. One of the verses that we often use is that verse in Hebrews where it's, you know, do not forsake the gathering together of yourselves for encouragement, for building up, etc.
Yeah.
But I believe that verse should be used to reinforce the importance of community, without even a mention of program or structure or institution. So in that sense, the important part, so if we separate it out, the important part is not the building, the program, the order of events, but rather is the interaction and mutual fellowship of followers of Jesus getting together to encourage each other, whatever that may look like.
Yeah, nice. Well said, Jesse. This is why you're the well said guy. You say things and I say, that's very well said. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay.
That's how this podcast works.
No. Well, no, it's just, I think what you said before is very true, is that we get wrapped up in, and we, what's the word? When you conflate the program with the community aspect, you know, and it gets to a point for some people where we just do things because we do it out of religious habit, rather than of wanting to gain or contribute something intentionally. So
yeah,
I think it's just look, humans are creatures of habit, are we not? You know, so I think it's just part of human nature in a way.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, that's sort of what we're really looking at is, I mean, we had this idea of what a normal church experience looks like, but now we're sitting here wrestling. I'm like, well, is this the new normal? Is this the new thing? Is this what God was trying to push for a while? And now a virus has been the thing that's, I'm not saying God caused the virus, I'm just saying maybe God's leveraging it, you know? I don't know, use it, like making good come out of a bad situation.
Yeah.
Because for me, I've been like pushing for digital, more of a digital community with church for ages. And this has been finally the thing that's pushed everybody to be like, oh, actually, yeah, it's a good idea. We should do this. You know, like, oh, okay. Like, I've been saying this for like the last 2 years, you know, but.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's definitely something which hopefully is going to come out good of this situation. You know, we were just talking about this a few weeks ago, like when we first started to get serious about getting back into digital because we sensed where this was going, you know, and we both said that we hope that this isn't just something that we do for a season, but rather something that actually becomes part of our norm. Look, I'll use Mosaic as an example. My church is a church of like 40, 50 people. We're a small church. When we did our live stream on Saturday morning, we reached about 1,200 people. You know, on that live stream,
1,200 people.
Yes, 1,200 people. 800, 900 views. 1,200, like 900 to 1,000 interactions, and 1,200 people reached. That's all organic reach. That's, we didn't boost anything. We didn't promote.
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous. It was far bigger than anything that we could have imagined. You know, and we saw people tuning in from Australia. We saw people tuning in from the United States. It was crazy. And as I said, we're a small church, and our production values probably the lowest out of any live stream you could have watched that same morning. Like, it was basic. Wow. As you know, we just had a little Mevo camera in my lounge room, literally with two guitars and a piano and a box drum. And I mean, it's going to be even more basic come this next weekend, but that's just a small picture of what a tiny church has been able to do and the amount of people that it's been able to reach just through something as simple as a live stream. Not complicated in the least.
Yeah, well, yeah, we were impressed with our numbers, and we had, I think, 250 in total on YouTube.
Yep.
Which is cool, because on YouTube, you don't have that same sharing function. And a lot of those, you think like, well, that's a household watching. Like, people sent us photos of them in small groups watching. And I'm like, oh, well, that's so worth at least 4 or 5 views, you know, really. Because that's like 4 or 5 people who would normally be watching it by themselves. So it's, I don't know. I think, yeah, it was kind of amazing. And I think I had, you know, a couple of people message like, wow, that's actually a lot. That's more than what we'd get on the average church service. I'm like, yeah, it's nothing really, like, you know, the size of the internet, it's not even, and to hear you guys getting those sort of numbers, not that it's all about the numbers, but no, it's still incredible fruit of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
To like have realize your extended church community.
Yeah And that's the thing, like, one of the things that I've been pushing for at Mosaic is the fact that digital reach is essentially endless and limitless versus physical reach. Like, as far as churches are concerned, my church is positioned probably one of the most poorly ways that you could ever be positioned as a church. We are not allowed to put signage out the front of our church. We do not have a church building. We are not in a place with a lot of public foot traffic. We are there for a Friday night through Saturday afternoon. That is literally all the time that we are allowed. We do not have a weekly presence. So we're positioned really poorly as a church to be able to attract natural growth. There's always invites. Invites are neutral, no matter what your situation is. But as far as being positioned in, you know, property-wise, signage, marketing, all that sort of stuff, all we have really is invitations and online. And if we can do more online than we can in person, I would still consider that a ministry win, honestly. Because it's not like those people on Facebook are not people. They're still people.
Yeah.
Even if they're people in like Florida, they're people.
Even Florida people.
Even Florida people.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I was kind of let down. I mean, in some of the group chats and the groups and stuff that I'm in on Facebook, and this is exactly the reason why I don't go on Facebook as much anymore, but so many people ragging on churches that are doing live stream, you know, in this sort of time. They're like, oh, all you're doing is entertaining people, is what they say. And okay, I can see like there is a side of truth to that. But I mean, like, now we're in a stage where we have to do total self-isolation. We can't do house church now, because this person in particular was advocating that you should do house churches and not worry about live stream. House churches are great. Don't have a problem with house churches. But now we're in a situation where we can't even do that. So if we didn't put that infrastructure in place before, then right now, church would be impossible. Like, what could you do if you couldn't do online church and no one can leave the house, right? You know?
Yeah. You literally have nothing.
Yeah. And this has like enabled us to pretty much still function in so many ways. Like, we have, like, I just had a board meeting before and it was all just on Zoom for the first time. And everyone was like, oh, this is really easy. We could do this every time. I'm like, yeah, we could. It's really easy.
You know? I literally had a board meeting last night on Zoom as well. So there you go.
We finished
our board meeting an hour early. Usually our board meetings are like 2 hours. We did it within an hour. It was sick.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And we're about to roll out with our church, a bit of behind the scenes, we're about to roll out Zoom small groups.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
For us. And Sweet. Zoom Sabbath schools, if people still want to do a Sabbath school, like. And it's a free program, so the limit has to be 45 minutes, because we're not doing a paid one at the moment.
Yeah.
Unless we see fruits of it, I guess. But, you know, like, at the time restriction's there, but at least you can all see each other. And, you know, it's pretty easy. Like, even with our live stream church service, it was really easy for people to invite others to church who wouldn't normally come. So, like, they were just sharing the link out. I'm like, hey, our church is going live. How funny is this? And people watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas if you were like, hey, our pastor's stupid, why don't you come on Saturday and look at him? You know? I don't know. Like, how hard's that? It's a hard
Throw
sell.
Virtual tomatoes.
Yeah.
I think...
I don't know. It's been an enabler, I think. It's been really cool.
I think the whole idea that a live stream is just a entertainment device, I think that's a tired and worn out argument. I mean, look, you and I have talked about this before. Like, when we talked about the music episode, when we talked about contemporary music versus traditional music, like, I just think it's a worn out argument, and I just don't think it holds water anymore. If we were living in an era where the only source of media that you could find on the internet was entertainment media, purely entertainment media, then maybe you could make that, you know, jump. But the fact that we live in an era now where people communicate, they share messages, they share information, they have discussions, spiritual information, like, that just, it just doesn't hold water anymore. Like, just saying that one thing is entertainment purely because you personally equate it that way, it's just not true. Like, it's just categorically untrue.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And so, yeah, I don't know, that's the thing for us. I'm already sensing that there will be things from this that will just become the new normal. We might never go back to physical board meetings. We might always do them on Zoom, who knows? You know, there might be whole new groups that are formed out of this that are just Zoom small groups.
And I guarantee that person that said, boo-hoo, live streams are terrible, eventually, because of social isolation, will be forced to engage in some form of community online. There's no way around that. They'll be forced.
Yeah, unless they just don't want to do church at all. Or
in which case, they can sit at home and just not talk to people at all, and that's their choice. But
yeah, I literally can't think of an alternative.
Unless you want to send like snail mail to people, but even then, like, there's no guarantees even with the mail in the for next coming weeks. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's kind of wacky. So I guess, Yeah, like, and maybe out of this whole thing, like, entirely digital churches will be born. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. My church might be like, you know what? We like this. We're always going to stay home and watch, you know, and just do it in a small group.
I mean, who says...
Our church might shrink physically.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I think that if a church... Like, if that's what happens, I would consider that a church plant. And if the research is anything to go by, if you are planning a church out of a pre-existing church, then the pre-existing church will always grow to match what it was sometimes or greater. So if that's the case, then, you know, who says that we have to continue just doing church the way that it's always been done? I've been talking to my leadership team and some of my ministry leaders about some of the possibilities for our church moving forward. And, you know, I can't really share anything right now, but like, we've been seriously talking about some of the things that we could do because we've recognized that our situation as it stands, it's not great. And everybody knows that we're in a poorly positioned area, as I was talking about before, to actually like physically grow. So maybe we need to start looking at some other things. If what we saw on Saturday could be considered a win, and I do consider it a huge win, what happens if we continue to build on that? Because quite frankly, it's disheartening doing something over and over again when you are continually losing in that area. And that's sometimes how I feel in local church ministry, is you're trying to do stuff over and over again, and it's just not working, and you just don't know why, so you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping that one day it will work.
Oh, so true. So true. And yeah, so many people are... They just have this vision in their head of what church should be. Do you know what I mean? It's what church... Like, what a good church looked like 20 years ago. Like, oh, it should look like that now. That's what we need to work towards. And it's well, you know, maybe. But maybe there's something new.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. When I first got to my local church, everybody that I talked to, who I, like, asked them about what would your ideal church be, it would simply like just more people, more money, more this, more that, just do more stuff. But I've kind of come to realize over the years that there are certain churches, well, maybe, you know, look, more people and more money probably is a net benefit. I think that there is probably a net benefit to more resources and more manpower, definitely. But I don't think that it is a one size fits all silver bullet to cure all your church problems. In some cases, it makes your problems bigger and more complicated and more difficult to overcome. So maybe the answer is not physical growth. Maybe the answer is digital growth. Maybe we need to start looking at ways to grow our ministries digitally, because at the end of the day, people are still people, whether they live in the town where your church operates or whether they live halfway across the world. I don't know. My mind's
just... In Florida.
In Florida. Even if your church is full of Florida man, Florida men.
Florida men and Florida women and children. Yep.
Not just the Florida men, but the Florida women and children too.
That is such a great meme. Okay,
only
sorry,
like 2% of people really quite understood that.
Yeah, I know. There's a demographic out there who've watched the Star Wars prequels. They're like, I'm so glad I listened to this podcast. And another demographic were like, I don't know why I listened to this podcast. They keep saying things I don't understand. But okay. So we got like, what, 10 minutes left or something?
Sure. Whatever, man.
Let's just have a quick chat about we're just going to shift gears a little bit. What does faith look like in isolation? I'm just thinking practically, right? There's probably a bunch of people here listening who, whether in New Zealand or in Australia or America or whatever, or maybe there's some listening in Italy. They've got some spare time now. So, you know, just like we do in New Zealand. So what does it look like? How do you grow your faith? Because we spend so much time in this podcast talking about how faith is all about community. And I still agree with that. Like, Christianity is always meant to be lived out in community, never in isolation. But now we have to live in isolation. So it's like, okay, so we just have to rule it out and say, okay, so what does faith look like now in isolation? How can people grow best when they can't, you know, go physically be with others?
Yeah. I would say
strategies and practical.
Yeah. There's one thing I would say. So when I was growing up and I got my first mobile phone, my first cell phone, I remember my parents kind of treating it with a little bit of chagrin, similar to the way they responded when I got my first laptop or my first desktop computer or whatever, because I would go on my device and I would be playing games or I would be communicating with people. Do you remember old MSN Messenger?
Absolutely. Nudging people left, right, and center.
I would have my screen open and there would be like 5-6 conversations all going at the same time. You know, I'd be talking away to like 3 people and then, you know, another 3 people would be like away from their computers. But then they would come back and then you would kind of... So I was always present in my device, in the virtual world. And my parents, who did not grow up digitally, somewhat looked at it with a bit of disdain because I was, quote-unquote, not experiencing life as life was meant to be experienced. I was just sitting behind a computer screen. But to me, I was present. I was just present with my friends and people living far away. So I didn't really quite have words to describe why I felt it was okay and why they were wrong. All I had to go off was my parents' wisdom. And so because I was a kid, I would just default to their wisdom going, okay, I guess I shouldn't be so quote unquote addicted. And of course, internet addiction and video game addiction is a thing. But as I have grown older, I've come to realize that we are always present. It's just a matter of where we're present. Yeah. So we can be present, like you and I right now. I'm present. I'm not on my phone. I'm not reading a book. I'm not driving my car. I'm sitting here at my desk, headphones in, microphone switched on, speaking to you through a webcam all the way, you know, 300 kilometers away in New Zealand. And I'm present. I'm fully engaged. And you're fully engaged with what I'm doing. If somebody else was in the background and was walking around and was demanding my attention, I would be indignant of that because I'm present here. But if that person felt that my presence and my attention was more accurately and properly meant to be directed towards them, then they would consider me as being detached or addicted or sucked into this device.
Mm.
And so what I've come to realize in this whole social isolation thing is that we are still, with technology, we have the opportunity to still be present with each other. We just have to make that effort. We have to be assertive and we have to be intentional about being present with somebody else. I went to a birthday party on Saturday night. It was probably the last party that I'll go to for a while. I was there. I was with, you know, 10, 15 other people, but I wasn't present the whole time because I had my phone and there were 2 or 3 conversations going on at the same time. And so I could choose where I was going to be present with people. Now, because I don't have people around me, I have to choose being present. I have to choose presence the same way that we have to choose presence with God. He's not going to force himself on us, but we have to actually be intentional about choosing presence with him. In the same way, I think we have to start choosing presence with each other rather than just putting ourselves in social situations and then expecting presence to happen. That might be a little bit deep and it might be a little bit over some people's heads. I don't know. But that's just what I'm thinking. It's, I guess the big word is intentionality and being intentional with being present and allowing our presence to be directed rather than just allowing it to happen, which is what we do most of the time. We just kind of drift and we just drift in and out of presence with people.
Yeah. No, I would agree 100%. And I think what I'm thinking, I reckon, runs very much along the same lines of what you're saying. Like my big word is you have to be, in this time especially, you have to proactively be a part of the church right now.
Yeah.
You can't just let church, like, it's not just rocking up and attending, it's being proactively remaining a part of the church. Prioritize things like, you know, don't just, I mean, yeah, okay, depending on the level that you're at with people, but prioritize calling, like FaceTiming, like, what, you know, like a video chat, like what we're doing. Prioritize something like that during this time with church people and make it a specifically, like, bring spirituality into your conversations. Have like some questions that you're like seeking to ask people. Or if you can't do that, go for a phone call. I know millennials are like, ah, yuck, phone call or whatever, but that's it's so much more contact and so much more meaningful than just a text. Sure, there's a wide net of people that you can text, message, email, whatever, but proactively seek to like lift some people up to the level of call or like FaceTime, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is the time when you have to proactively say, okay, I am a part of this church, and through this, I will remain a part of this church.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be really easy to drift through this season, come back the other side and just start attending church again and be like, man, what? Like, I don't feel like I was in a church that whole time. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're proactive about it, you really can be. This can be the most meaningful time in your church's life ever if you proactively seek to be a part of it and be the church during this time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what I keep saying. That's what we keep having discussions around with Mosaic, is that even though we are offline, or even though we are not, you know, in our physical location, that doesn't mean that we get to stop being church and we don't get to stop being connected, because we can be, you know, if we were living, I don't know, through a drought or through a hurricane or through a mass power outage, you know, we might be looking at things a little bit differently right now. But even though we are in social isolation, technology is still there. The internet is still working. The phone lines are still working. The power is still running. So we can do this. We can.
Totally. And I mean, again, this is something else. If your church is doing a live stream or whatever, or like a church is doing a live stream and you're choosing to tune in, like, don't... Like, I don't know, even be proactive with that. Put it on the biggest screen you have in your house.
Yeah.
Like, take notes, sing with the songs, like, hold the screen, you know, scream down the preacher, all that sort of stuff. Like, be, you know, be more so than you are in your regular church. Like, I don't know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you can make this a really amazing experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, look, I don't know, how much more can we say on this? I feel like I'm kind of sick of talking about this whole thing right now, though I am excited for the implications. And I mean, that's what we've been spending this entire time talking about, rather than the coronavirus itself. I don't know. I wonder if there are going to be more digital churches as a result of this, or I wonder if by the time we finish this, it's just going to be back to good old Alex Dion Wilson, InstaChurch Live. He's been doing it this whole time, people. We've been telling you, you gotta tune into InstaChurch Live. He is the man when it comes to Instagram church. But yeah, I'm excited to see if there is going to be any more ground broken on this particular front.
It's exciting times ahead. I'm excited more than anything. And I think we all should be, in a way. Precautionary, all that sort of stuff. But you don't have to be scared. Be excited about how God's going to use this.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Okay, I'm sick of talking about this as well. Let's do the sign-off. Let's get out of here. Let's skedaddle.
So, let's talk a little bit more, because I think unless stuff happens in the near future that completely... Like, I feel like we're getting to the point of really, like, this is serious and deserves a discussion. But I think if stuff doesn't happen more, I don't think we're going to need to talk about this anymore on the podcast, apart from a general update and how things are going. So in the next couple of weeks, we are going to be going back to our regularly, quote unquote, regularly scheduled content.
Is there any regular content with us? I don't know.
I feel like especially this season, we have been extremely eclectic with the content that we've been putting out. It's been strange. It's been very strange, but this has been a very strange year.
Well, wait till another 4 weeks when we've been locked in our house for 4 weeks straight, then see how strange the content gets. You guys are in for a wild ride.
Josh and I are gonna have like long beardy hair, like, you know, our hair's gonna be wild. We're gonna be wearing nothing but sackcloth, and, you know, we're just gonna be running around our living room with a stick yelling profanities, or I don't know. It's gonna, we'll see.
Sounds like my normal Sundays, but anyway. No, I'm kidding.
No. So next week, we're hoping to kick off a new sort of episode that is going to be completely different. We're going to be digging into some more biblical stuff, biblical theology yeah. stuff in the next couple of weeks, which I'm really excited about because I love this stuff and I feel like it's been ages since we've talked about anything really biblical theology related. So
it's been ages since we talked about anything biblical. That's such a funny thing. Sorry.
Two Christian pastors. Yeah, we haven't done like a podcast. Bible.
Yeah. The last thing we did was probably the Three Angels message, and that was also sort of cultural.
Oh gosh, that's a long time ago. That's like 6 months ago now.
Yeah. So I guess a sneak peek, what we're looking at, okay, there's two. I don't know which one what we're looking at doing next week is looking at the Old Testament and sort of wondering, is there grace in the Old Testament? Is God different in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament? Is what we're going to dig into just from stuff we've been looking up. So that's where we're going. And then after that, I think we've got another biblical thing, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think at least with the next couple of weeks, I'm really excited to dig in like really deep into some of this stuff, like especially this grace in the Old Testament topic. I think that it is really solid. So I'm like literally where I'm at, I'm just like wanting to see where it takes us. And if it takes us 1 week, if it takes us 4 weeks, you know, maybe this could be a great journey. So I'm just really excited to dig into this stuff again.
Yeah. So, hey, and remember, the best thing for all things Burn the Haystack is, of course, burnthehaystack.org. So make sure you go and check it out. It's a beautiful place to be.
Absolutely. And if this is your first time listening to Burn the Haystack, welcome. This is, as we said, probably not the most regular of episodes. We've been in a weird place. But if you haven't already, please subscribe. You can check some of the backlog. We have 100 episodes before this one of content ranging from interviews to theological discussions to cultural discussions and everything in between. There's literally so many different things that we talk about, it's impossible to list them all. So subscribe if you haven't already, and if you have and you would like to help us out, we would love it if you could give us a rating or a review on the podcatching app of your choice. If your podcatching app does not allow you to leave a review, just head over to iTunes and leave us a review over there. That'd be much appreciated.
Absolutely, because we love hearing from you. Anyway, that is everything from us. We love you. Stay awesome. Stay healthy. Stay safe. All those good things. That is Josh and Jesse out. We'll be right back.